I was seated next to Loretta, and I said, Loretta, I'll have all this stuff, and I do this every time. I need a tote bag. Well, she had that smaller brown and blue bag, and I think she thought I was trying to get it. And I said, I don't want your bag. I just need a larger tote bag. You said, come on up here. And I got a larger tote bag. I mean, tell me that's just not of God. I mean, you say, a tote bag? Yes, a tote bag. That was a big deal to me. And so now I can have something. And it's black and white. It won't stay that way very long. It'll be all black shortly. Because I am a mess. I just am a mess. I was eating a lunch. Was that good? Yes. Your barbecue's different than ours. Our barbecue has a like a ketchup-y, like a red. And I said, I'm so foreign to all this. I said, what is that to Mrs. Ennis? She said, that's barbecue. I thought,
that's not barbecue. Our barbecue is red.
And then I realized your barbecue is different. Last night we went to Cracker Barrel, and he says, would you like some vinegar? And I said, for what? What am I putting vinegar on, you know? And he said, on the turnip greens. I had turnip greens. Yeah, oh, yes. I mean, vinegar. You know, we put it on cucumbers, and that's it. But you all eat different. And then those little hot dogs were, what do they call? Hush puppies. That's what they look like. But there was no hot dog in there. So you can see we eat different than you do, you know. Before I begin, and I have 40 minutes, I probably have 38 now, and I will stay on time, and Wendy's going to be my timer. And I was rushing so much. If I didn't get back there, I think we have a little break after I speak. If you want to come back, get the books, and also I'll sign these books as fast as I can sign these books. I wish it was three people. Not the world does not want three of me, but today I was trying to be everywhere, and I didn't want you waiting on me for a second. Anything you're asking me to do, I want to be there and comply with what you're asking. And I was supposed to be at the teenagers. It was hilarious. I was, I'll be right back. And I go to my next location. But I want to say something to you. I don't know about this meeting. It's just so unique. And I don't know if you feel this way, but I really love you, ladies. I was looking at you, and I almost started crying. Not the way you look, but it was just the idea.
I can't believe this.
No. I was sitting there eating lunch and walking out and looking at all of you, and I thought, I really love these ladies. God, are you sure I'm not a Southerner? You know, I just...
The way I talk, no, you would not say that. I'm doing something. I've never done this exactly like this, but I'm doing a continuation because I feel so powerful words. I have another speech I was going to talk on that I put together. But I'm just going to go back to one verse of Scripture. I'm going to pray and share some things. I hope it'll encourage your heart. I just want to encourage you in the power of words. I'm only walking through this world one time today. Only through one time. I don't know how many more times I'll walk through the world. Neither do you. Like, and I don't tease. When I was diagnosed with medullary sponge kidney, and it was... 43 years ago tomorrow, I was diagnosed, and they gave me to age 40, and I passed that. I'm 67. I don't say that cocky. I say it rejoicing. I asked God, when he gave it to me and allowed me to have it, I asked him, please let me not miss what I'm to learn from all this. Whatever you're going through, ask the Lord, don't let me miss what I'm to learn from all this, whatever you're going through. I didn't say it flippantly about my son. I was saying to the ladies back there a few minutes ago, the books is a big thing to me because I believe they're encouraging. The plan of salvation's in each of them. I'm going to read some stories to you in the few minutes I have with you. Just a few stories to show you what it is. They're all encouraging. The plan of salvation's in every single one. I have never, ever not had someone write me after these go out and say, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. After I read the story, I said the prayer, and by faith, as best as I knew how, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, and I'll see you again. I don't know about you, but if one book out went out that way, but every one of them has a plan of salvation. The pink book was the first book, so I'll explain this. It's my story growing up, the unreal situations I get into when I was a kid. It's just unreal. The story of in one of them, I think it's this one here, I'm not sure. If not, it's my green one, of the day I got stuck in the mammogram machine. I mean, just the things that happened to me, and it was a very uncomfortable situation. Especially when they said, we're going to go get a serviceman. And I am the epitome of trying to be modest. Even like, I never speak like this. I always have a jacket on because I'm, you know what I'm saying? Loretta referred to me as a shelf just a few minutes ago while I was eating, because I dropped food on the shelf, and I thought, that was real nice, you know. So some have more than others, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, I'm being careful what I say. My sister had breast cancer and died of it. So and she's the one that told me to get the mammogram. I was blaming her. You know, I mean, just the things that happen. I mean, just the things. My husband was diagnosed with cancer. And I might have told that story last year of how when he was diagnosed with cancer, how I was so concerned. It's in the Green Book. It's just one of the stories, because I don't have the time to go through everything. But the day my husband was diagnosed, we came home on 4th of July, got a phone call from the doctor. No one calls you on 4th of July. The reading was supposed to be the next day, July 5th, on a Thursday. This is Wednesday, July 4th, and Dr. Uni, who's a urologist, called and said, Mr. Moffitt, this is Dr. Uni. We need to talk regarding your results from your biopsies. We knew it was not good. To call in a legal holiday, doctors aren't in, and so needless to say, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And my husband didn't just have prostate cancer, it was massive. And it was so bad, they fitted him for a stoma to take out the colon, and it was just massive. He's had 3 surgeries. And to see that man, and to see it even at Mayo Clinic, I love, "You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine." I love that song. I just love it. Are we a sunshine to people? That's words. And we were coming out. If they told me I had kidney bladder cancer at Mayo Clinic, at the same time my husband did, I started crying. And the doctor who was my nephrologist, kidney specialist, Dr. Vicente Torres, who's my transplant doctor, if I ever need a transplant from Mayo, and he said, "Why are you crying? Because of the cancer?" I said, "No, it's my husband has cancer. If I have kids, right, who's going to take care of him?" Probably a short, cute blonde with a southern accent, you know, because you always seem so nice. And they did a testing while I was awake, a surgical procedure to find out if I had kidney bladder cancer. It was a false reading for my kidney disease. I came out of that. And this is to show you the power of words. Words through the gospel. Words of salvation. Words of encouragement. Words of just building people, of loving people. I think I said it. I already love you. And I'm not just saying that if you know me, you'd understand. To read the book, you'll get a little bit of an idea about my background. Came from a very rich background, but a background where they didn't show love. My mother. My mother never told me she loved me until 3 weeks before she died. And she told me that. There's more to me than you understand. My mother was a good lady, a great lady. It's just she was raised under a father who's communist and probably was never told it herself. My grandfather worked under Hitler. So you can imagine my background as far as what my mother didn't have. I just decided I'm giving it away. What I don't have, I do have. Because I bottled it up all these years. And my fear is that you won't catch it. Catch the love I'm really trying to give you and pass it on. Pass it on. I really love you, ladies. I hope you catch that. I'm as sincere as I can say sincerity of talking to you. Mayo Clinic, when I walked out of having the test, my husband's trying to see how my reading was, because we would have known right there the test they were doing, they would have known. I don't know if you're familiar, kidney bladder cancer is very serious. And so I was expecting the worst, but I wanted my heart to believe the best, but I knew it could be the worst. We walked out of there, I said, "Roy, I don't have cancer." Oh, he just started sobbing. Well, we were on our way to radiology, oncology. Kidney, the cancer of the, you know, for x-rays, and what they're getting ready to do to him. And we walked out of there, and there's a piano at Mayo Clinic, and they just started playing. The lady plays this baby grand piano, and I love music, good music. That's today. How many times I said, "Oh, I love your music." Music is to worship and glorify the God, our God. It's to glorify God, not for our senses, but to worship him and to love our Lord. And I love good music. And I was raised in the wrong kind of music. I taught dancing. That's my background. I did choreography. It's my past. I love good music. We walked out of the urology department where they had just done this procedure on me while I was awake. I remember it very vividly. Oh, yes, I do. And I still like that doctor. I was real nice to him. But anyway, I came out, and my husband was just overwhelmed because of what we were facing. He was facing having a surgery that could take his life the following week. And when he heard that, he just broke of rejoicing. And I said, "I don't have cancer. I don't have cancer. I can take care of you, not the short, cute blonde from the South." Because I always say that, you know. And he says, "Oh, Jojo, I'm so glad." And we walked out. And my favorite song that I love as a little kid is, "You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine." I kid you not. As we walked out, I said, can we just listen to a song before we go to oncology radiology? That's cancer radiology. And he said, sure. And we stood there, and I kid you not, she started playing, you are my sunshine. And we're both going, and I mean, we're just, and you're not going to believe this, right after that, I said, can we listen to one more? Well, his favorite, he loved, I don't know who it is, Gene Autry or somebody, happy trails to you. He loves that song. I kid you not. As we walked out, and I'm standing to hear my second song, I said, can we hear one more, Roy, just one more? He said, sure. And the lady starts playing, happy trails to you. We're going, ah, this is God, you know. Anyone that was looking at us thought, oh, God bless their hearts, you know. They probably have had the worst news in the whole wide world. But the day that my husband, and this is one of the stories in here, I'm not going to take the time because I want to give you some thoughts. It's what I want to give you. And I won't go over my time at all, I promise you. I'm done at, what, 20 till? 20 till, Rodney? All right, and I will not go, but I'm trying to say a lot in a few minutes. But I still remember so much, just the power of words, the power of words. The morning my husband was scheduled for his biopsy, I was getting, he has like a pain packet, you know what I mean, of all the procedures, pre-op, all this, to have it done. And I knew he had apprehension, of course, and of course it was cancer. And it was cancer at all levels, it showed. In every test they took, he had cancer, the different, everything. You know, it was like six different treatment type of cancer things, and everything showed he had positive. And but before he went in, I just want to take care of him. I love taking care of my husband. I hope you do. We'll be married 49 years in just a few weeks. And I love this guy. We've been dating for 51 years. It's getting so serious. It's unbelievable. It really is. And six children. 9 grandchildren, 2 have been born in the last 4 months. Aslan is 4 weeks old. I mentioned she'll be 4 weeks. She's 4 weeks today. And then it was 4 weeks ago, Monday, when our grandbaby had the fall. And that's when she goes back to the neurology department of Comer's Children's Hospital. I'm sure you've heard the University of Chicago, to make sure that it is healing and it's not going to require brain surgery. And there was actually bleeding in the brain. The bleeding in the brain, with the power of prayer, by the way, within 24 hours, the bleeding stopped. And people can't tell me there's not a God that can do anything. I'm going to lose my train of thought where I was going, because I'm trying to talk too fast. Help. Papa? Biopsy! The lady in the navy blue gets a book. The navy blue right there. Don't y'all pray and say, oh man, I've got to listen. This poor woman keeps forgetting where she is. The morning of the biopsy, I called and I was trying. It's just like now, I'm moving so fast. My mind is very clear right now. Full, overwhelmed after lunch. Not just the food was delicious, but you, looking at your faces. I thought, I wonder what they're all going through. I wonder who needs a hug. I wonder who needs, boy, I care about you. Boy, you're so pretty. You know, things to encourage people. Be a B12 shot. Be a fairy godmother that floats in. Well, the morning of my husband's biopsy, I called the doctor's office, and it's in here, one of the stories. I called, and I was under a lot of strain, thinking what was going to happen and trying not to. I kept giving it to God, but we have a tendency of doing this. We take it back, we gave to him. Still give it to him. Whatever it is, let go. And if you take it back, do it again. Just keep giving it to him. So that morning I called and I said, took a deep breath. Hello, this is Dr. Uni's office? Yes. This is JoJo Moffitt. I wish I hadn't given him my name. And I said, my husband, Roy Moffitt, is coming in this afternoon. And I could find myself short of breath almost, just knowing what you're facing and trying to act relaxed. Our best friend, Bill Burr, died of prostate cancer. So did Curtis Hudson. My husband's is more severe than theirs was. And I thought, yes, this is JoJo Moffitt. My husband, Roy Moffitt, is coming in this afternoon. He's having an autopsy done in your office. And I said, and I want to make sure he's as comfortable as possible. I'm still not realizing what I said, and I said, there's some, what happened was a little packet of pain pills fell out of that package, that plastic packaging, and I did everything, but I found the pain pills. I went, oh no. So I need to make sure he's comfortable. Yes, I want to make him as comfortable as I can during this procedure. And the man just kind of was kind of chuckling. He said, an autopsy? And I said, did I say autopsy? Just a little mix up on the words, you know. I said, he says, normally autopsies are done at the county morgue, or sometimes they're done even at the hospital, but we don't do them in our office. I said, oh, I was so embarrassed. I mean, and you know how you can't get out of something you've already stuck your foot in as deep as you can go. And I said, oh, well, thank you for bringing this all to my attention. I'll see you later. Bye-bye. And when I got there, you know, you want to have like a sheet over your head, you know, with just two eye holes, and say, I'm Stella by starlight. I'm bringing in my friend. My name's Stella. But I thought, you know what? Surely by afternoon, they'll forget this whole thing. I walked up to, I'll never forget, the door is like a window that went across, glass window. I remember them pulling it across, oh, so vividly. I remember it. There were three or four people working computers, all looking down. My husband went to the restroom, was going to wash up too, and I said, I'll take care of it. I said, hello. I said, my name's Jojo Moffat. They went, like they wanted to see what I looked like, you know. I'm so glad to be here today. And I said, they just started laughing. And I said, I am so sorry. They said, not many caring wives call and schedule their husband's autopsy. And then she goes to the extent to please hope that he's comfortable while we're doing it. You know, and I do cute things like this all the time, all the time. But there's all kinds of things. When I went to a rest home to have a, we had a whole week of soul winning in our church. 24 hours a day for 7 days, we did nothing but soul win. It was wonderful. We all took turns all night long. My husband's in charge of one of the major soul winning groups of our church. We went to the rest home. We have to gather them all together. You know, a lot of them fall asleep easily, like I'm afraid. You know, if you're doing it, but after you had that nice meal, you know, oh, you feel like a nap. Don't you dare. I will start doing calisthenics. I'll do flips with my bad knees, but you'll stay awake. And I'll never forget, we got this whole group together, and you could see them already tired. And my husband says, right now, my wife's going to come up and lead a song. I don't sing. And I said, I gave him that look like, you know, what are you doing? He said, they'll like anything you sing. Okay? Hi. About three of them were already asleep, you know, and one lady was listening intently. Oh, she was listening, and she had my attention, because she was leading, singing. She was watching me while I was singing. And it had been something like, oh, McDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And my husband was acting silly, making faces behind me, and I'd catch him, and then I'd spank him. And we had such fun with these people. And I loved it. And I believe in being real. So I hit him hard. And, oh, we had so much fun. Well, everyone's kind of just, you know, in and out, you know. And this one lady was just watching me. And my daughter Joy was sitting next to her. And I thought, oh, she's paying attention. She likes us, you know. So I went down afterward and I said, hello, hello, hello. And she went, she said, I can't hear very well. She didn't even hear me singing. And Joy almost lost it. She was trying so hard not to laugh because she said everyone was sleeping but her. And then it was a fun song. And so then I said, you know, she said, hey, can you someday just come and have lunch with me? Oh. I said, sure I can. She says, what room are you in? All these stories are in here. One after another. The day I panicked in the elevator and I was stuck in the elevator to realize I never pushed the button and they're calling security. I mean, I have story after story. A fourth I'll never forget. Just story after story. There's 60, I think we have 60 some stories. And this is the yellow one. The yellow. This is not yellow. Just want to see if you're paying attention. I love tests when I got stuck in the mammogram machine. The day my son was wrestling and I got so involved, I ended up on the wrestling mat and I felt quite embarrassed to be only one on the wrestling mat except the wrestlers and the ref and myself. And all the parents are way up above. And when I was down there, let him go. It looked like he was choking my son to death, and I got quite concerned. I said, let him go, let him go. My husband was horrified. I had worked my way down because I thought my son wasn't breathing. And I'm kneeling on the wrestling mat with the two wrestlers, my son, the other boy, and the ref. And my son lost. I remember him blowing the whistle and going like this, meaning pin. And all I could think about is, oh, no. What did you do? I prayed. I really did. I said, God, if you can make a trap door right now, if I can fall through the trap door, this would be so special. Could you do this? You're not going to do it, huh? Okay. And I got up and straightened my skirt, walked across the entire front of the gym, all the way up the stairs, all the way up the platform where my husband was, and he said, let's go. I was never so quiet in my life. I'm driving home, and it's like 5 o'clock. I said, you know, I'm rather tired. I think I'll go to bed early tonight. I had dinner ready. I went to bed the next morning. I came down, and my son, Mike, who will be 43 years old tomorrow. Our daughter's birthday is today, and his birthday is tomorrow. And it's so funny. I'll never forget. I was making breakfast, and that's one of the stories in here. Chaos, family chaos, breakfast. There's no way I can explain that story in the whole wide world to you. How I started my house going on fire, and I was in it. And I mean, and it just, it's a hilarious story. It's just a hilarious story. But anyway, the day then this all happened, I went down for breakfast and my son was there and he said, are you, Mom, I'm wrestling tomorrow. Mom, no, today, I'm wrestling. He said, I thought, oh, really? Oh, I wish you wouldn't talk about wrestling right now. Because all the kids are at the table and we have six and my husband and myself, we always had a big breakfast. And I said, oh, that's nice. You know, you're trying to say something but not really be in the conversation. Oh, that's nice. Keep your voice tones up. Oh. And he said, Mom, are you going to be there? You better believe I'll be there, son. That was my acceptance, you know. And he said, Mom, do you think, Mom, I don't know how to say this. Is there any way you could stay up there with the parents today? And before I could say anything, my husband said, I promise you, son, she will not move. This is what the books are about, to give you an idea. It'll help you to laugh, and there's moral of the story, there's scripture of everyone, and there's five teachings that I learned from each of them. They're all downtimes turned around. That's what it is. But anyway, these are just ways that I think you can actually watch and change your words. One is think kind. Think kind thoughts. Who you think on, who you pray for, who you do for, who you plan for is who you love. You think about it. If you plan something when you go home tonight, first of all, expect your house to be a mess if you have a husband and children. I really mean it. Just don't even plan it. Because we set ourselves up for disappointment, don't we, really, with our words and our minds? Yeah, I just know. I remember one time I was leaving, and they were bringing a Coleman stove downstairs and a tent with a lantern to make a camp in my living room while I was out of town. That meant a fire and no house. But all I kept thinking is, shut up, JoJo. Two words I say to myself, shut up, attach your name, not JoJo, use your own, please. But I have to say those to myself, and I fake a smile. Grit your teeth. Close your lips. It's better than, what? Look at this house. I've been at a ladies' meeting trying to change my life. And they want to say, Mom, jump back on your broom and go fly, you know? If we could only be different. Who you think on, who you plan for, who you do for, who you love. When do you plan in this meeting? There's a lot of love that goes in. There's a lot of prayer, a lot of work, the ladies from this church, a lot of work. There's disappointments. You know, I always say, do your best and hang the rest. But I don't hang much. But I have to hang some things. I can't do everything. And I will mess up. The best thing you can do is laugh. I mean, every time I've come to North Carolina, you've probably heard that one. It's one of the chapters. At the Durham Airport, someone left the toilet seat up. I'm sorry, I don't expect to walk into a ladies' restroom and find the toilet seat up. I sat down and I felt totally to the bottom of the commode. I was going to Liberty Baptist Church. I was the first speaker, and I am now swimming in the toilet. Somehow North Carolina and I have a lot that happened. Think kind. Number two, be kind. Be kind. Be kind. Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Not on the tongue, it's in the tongue. Kindness. Isn't that good? She opened her mouth with wisdom. You read your Bible, and that's what I mean. When I read my Bible, I'm not joking. I'm different. When I don't take time, watch yourself, how you're curt, you're edgy. Stop and read and pray and rejoice of all that you have. Do you have good health? Rejoice. My health is not good. But you know what? I'm not thinking about what I can't do, but I'm thinking, I'm here. The Lord let me come one more time. And I pray he lets me come another time, not necessarily here. I mean, I know you'll have new speakers next year. You need to. But I'm just saying, whatever I get, and I end up in North Carolina. It's almost hilarious. In more churches in North Carolina. My husband says, maybe we need to move there, being funny, you know. And I says, well, I kind of think I'm born, bred, and dead in Indiana. And I'm getting closer to the dead part of it. You know what I'm saying? In fact, on Memorial Day, we went to our cemetery. I have 10 minutes, right? 10 minutes. I went to the cemetery, our cemetery. Our plots, they had a big push for the cemetery. So we already bought our plot. You know, it's all paid for. It's right next to my father and mother-in-law. And so we went to the graves. I had a real sweet service on Memorial Day. And then I was showing my kids. I said, this is where Dad and I will be buried. And probably me first. And I'm right here. And my son, Justin, the one with the sick baby, the one that's baby's been in the hospital and going through a lot right now. Justin said, Mom, you know, you're talking about enough. Why don't you just lay down so we can all get a better picture of what it's going to be like? I guess I was going into it too deep, you know. And he says, the more you talk about it, Mom, I'm sure my children would love to see you laying in the plot. And I says, oh, got the picture. Okay, I won't say anymore. But anyway, smile and be friendly. You know, they say the Southern are more friendly. I want to make sure the Northern are friendly. And I'm friendly. I try to be friendly to everybody. You don't reach people with the gospel by this. What? I'm sorry, that's my seat. Give up your seat. You know, let the person get ahead of you in line. I have more pen pals in grocery lines than anywhere I get. I really do. I meet people in grocery lines. I talk to them. One day, my husband and I were at Strachan Ventures in Cherryville. Excuse me. And we were standing there. And he said, do you talk to everybody? And I said, I don't think so. He says, you've talked to everyone. And I said, well, you're very friendly too, Roy. He says, it's like you have pen pals. I said, oh, I don't think so. And the lady said, hey, JoJo, was one line over. She said, hey, JoJo, did you get my letter? I went, oh, no. I told you have pen pals. You have pen pals in the grocery line. But I don't know about you, but I think that's fun. That is fun. Be a joy spreader or manure. You know, garbage. I don't want that. There's so much good we can spread. Be a joy spreader. You know, I mean, just to spread joy, there's so much good. Think about all today. I think I mentioned the food. I know I did. Mrs. Ennis, you're a beautiful lady. And I really mean that. You are. You're just beautiful. And I was thinking, boy, she's so pretty. And her husband, he's nice looking. I'm being appropriate. You know? But I mean, he's a nice looking fella. And they're just a nice looking couple, a sharp couple. You know, instead of saying, how old is she? I'm older than you, I'm sure. But I mean, am I older than you? Her daughter's trying to signal me. Well, I thought I was. I'm kind of beginning to think I'm the oldest one here anymore, you know? But I don't feel that way. My spirit's 17, my body's 144. But that's what the doctor at Mayo Clinic said. He said, your body, you know, your spirit is a 17-year-old. Your bones are a 90-year-old woman. I said, have a good day. You know, but you can have a great day. And pay compliments. Learn to laugh at the situations. That's all these books are. And I'm not going to have time to do them, but one was a wrestling story. Walmart, when I lost my nylons and I was in them. And there was and I'm walking through Walmart, got some defective hose, and as I'm walking, I realized what the defect was. I heard a pop. And I went, and you start picking up your speed as you can feel them. And I'm walking, and two of my young men in my speech class are coming right at me. I'm going, have you ever seen little grannies, how they roll their nylons down at their ankles? They're now down at my ankles. And I thought, I'll take one graceful leap and I'll be okay. And I went in flying in midair like the Flying Nun. Boom. I'm laying on the ground and these two guys are looking at me. Mrs. Moffitt, what can we do? I said, pray. Dear Lord, I don't know where to pray for. As I'm stepping out of my nylons, shoving in my purse and took off for the restaurant. You can cover your tracks a lot by that. Learn to laugh and have fun, even through the crisis times. And I'll just finish with this. How many minutes do I have? Because I don't want to take any time. And this is, to me, the epitome of words. When the tough times come, turn it around. probably one of the toughest days, other than little. And by the way, if you'll pray for her, her name is Mia, M-I-A, Mia Moffitt. And she's a little one that goes in Monday at 1 o'clock, if you'll pray. And pray that every guy will just work some real miracles in this. Prayers to a witness to the neurologist. It's a lady who is wonderful, who's Hindu. Last week, I had a Hindu lady next to me and a Catholic lady. At the time we arrived in Columbus, Ohio, the Hindu lady said, "I'm no longer a Hindu. I'm a Christian." And she got saved, and the Catholic lady got saved. That's what it's all about. And by the way, it's taking the stories I'm telling you and turning them around. I was landing at the airport, coming in from the south, which I end up most of the time in the south, and I was landing at O'Hare Airport. I may have told this story, but it just kind of pulls everything together, what I'm saying about words. I won't go through the whole thing with you, but as I'm landing, my husband always, I text him, like I'll do today. I text him at 689-7709. That was my first husband. He died very tragically. I only have one husband, and I want to keep him. Yeah, 689-7709. I was giving my home phone. I don't know why I was doing that. And I call him and say, "Roy, this is JoJo. I just landed Southwest, this particular one. I was O'Hare, so it's probably American." And I said, "I just landed, and just want to let you know I'll be at the baggage in a matter of moments. Love you." That's what I always say. And hang up. And he didn't respond. I get a call back. It's my son, Justin. "Mom, this is Justin. I'm coming to get you, but I don't know what airport you're at." And I thought, this is not normal. My husband always would tell him, "Why is he coming instead of my husband?" Huh, this is Justin, the one that's baby's been ill. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. Never, never, never. I call him back, I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Dad was going down the Dan Ryan Expressway, and a lady going 50-some miles an hour cut right in front of him. He hit the car, my husband's car flipped over and was actually rolling on the Dan Ryan Expressway." It's in the book here. Tells the whole story. And it was probably one of the hardest days I've ever had. And as I'm going, thinking, is he alive or dead? I call him back, and Justin and I are conversing now. And I said, "Justin, where are you?" He said, "I'm by the Sears Tower." I said, "Don't come and get me. Go to be with Dad. He's at Northwestern Hospital, just down the road from there." He went onto the hospital, and I said, "I'll just take, I guess, a bus." And he says, "No, you're not riding a bus. Get in a cab." I said, "I'm not taking a cab, Justin. They're too expensive." He says, "Mom, I'll pay for the cab. Get in the cab. I have my books, my satchels. You know, I have all this stuff with me. It's not like I travel light. I'm always all this stuff with me. And my books, you know, all this. I'm thinking, how am I going to do all this? I didn't know what, I never take cabs." I get outside, I get into the cab, and you know how your heart's just flipping, and you almost feel frozen? Like I didn't know how to walk. I didn't know where to go. It's like I was frozen. Trauma causes that. To make a long story short, I got in the cab, and I'm in there trying not to cry. And I said, "Sir, can you get me to Northwestern Hospital quickly, please?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am." He said, "Is someone there?" I said, "Yes, my husband was just in an accident." He said, "On the Dan Ryan, just a few minutes ago?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "They don't know if it's a fatality or not. The jaws of life are on the way right now. So I don't know if he's alive or dead, and I can't explain." I said, "That's my husband." He said, "I'll get you there as quick as possible." And then hit me, words. "God, there's a reason all this has happened. I can't change it, but you can. Please, God, help right now with Roy, please. Please protect him." I said, "Sir, there's a reason all this has happened. I don't understand, but I'm going to put my faith and trust in God." He says, "What?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "My wife was of faith. She believed in God, and she had Jesus as her Savior." I said, "She did?" He said, "Yes, she died last week." And I thought, you sent me here. And I said, "She died?" He goes, "Yes, I killed my wife." And I thought, I am now. I'm now in the car with the murderer. Not knowing what to say of general conversation, I said, "Oh, really? How did you do it?" Now, why did I want to know? He said he gave her Coumadin. It's a blood thinner. And in turn, she bled to death. And I said, "Was it prescribed?" He goes, "Oh, no, yes, a nurse would come in and prescribe the medicines." And I said, no, God chose your wife. You didn't kill your wife. You gave the medicine you were supposed to. "Oh, yes, yes." I said, "You didn't kill her." I said, "But you're not going to see her again?" He says, "What do you mean?" I said, "If you're not a Christian, sir, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that means she's going to heaven, but you'll go to hell." "Oh, no, no." Now, he's crying. I'm thinking, oh, no. So he's crying, and so I started telling him about how he could know for sure, and he said, "No one's ever told me." Carry gospel tracts, pass them out. To make a very long story short, that man bowed his head He said he didn't close his eyes. I hope not. And he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal savior. I'll never forget, he's sobbing when we got to the hospital. Justin came out to help me, and as Justin came out, he goes, "What did you do to that man?" And I said, "He killed his wife last week." By the way, my husband was fine. He had one nick in his head, totaled our car. We had 4 or 5 people saved. We had the most wonderful time. That man came to First Baptist Church and made a public profession of Jesus Christ. My husband baptized him, and he wrote on the decision slip, "I had the privilege of taking JoJo Moffat to the hospital when her husband was in a near fatal accident." Aww. And that was just one of my things about words. The thing I want to just finish, one little thing, Wendy will take me just a second here. The lady that asked, I started telling about texting earlier and how I texted, you can have name under name. I had my daughter's name and our pastor's name, right, and our texting and my phone. And so Joy went to Disney World. And I text Joy, and I said, "Joy," and I didn't say Joy, I said, "Hey, have a great time. You're going to my favorite place. Please hug Mickey for me. Tell Mickey I love him, I love him, I love him." And then I pushed it, and was going to our pastor. When I realized, I quickly said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." Because that morning he said, "Your wife, she's a trip. She has more things happen to her." And I said, "Oh, no, not really, not really." That afternoon, I sent that to him. He texted me back. Oh, I did. I said, "I'm so sorry. I was texting this to Joy, and by mistake, I pushed your name," trying to laugh, you know, "and I hope you'll forgive me." He said, "I did have a great day, JoJo, but I didn't see Mickey." So anyway, I love you, ladies. It's my last time to speak. I love you.